Hey, everyone. Happy to have you here for another episode of Legacy Matters. Our show is growing, and the lives and legacies of the people around us have taken on a new importance as we take stock of what is most precious to us. As always, our show will focus on building and preserving your legacy, the importance of community, and the telling of stories we find amusing. Thanks for joining us. Now, enjoy the show.
We're doing it.
Let's go on.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello. Where are we going to start? Welcome to Legacy Matters.
Right, that's what we're doing. Yep. Legacy Matters.
That's where you're at.
Comedy Corner on the ground.
You're the one who pushed the in button on your little player thing, so you know what podcast you're listening to. Anyway, thanks.
Wow. You'd think so.
Yep. What did you say? Comedy Corner Underground?
Comedy Corner Underground at the Corner Bar in Minneapolis,
Minnesota. I'd love to thank them for letting us use their gorgeous space.
I like them a lot.
Me too.
I do too. Yeah. And most every guest that we have on the show is like, holy crap, I didn't even know there was a comedy.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing
comedy
down
club
here.
Down here.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
And here it is. So if you're listening to this show, what could you do as a listener?
Go.
You could come and see some comedy here on the weekends.
There you go.
Or if you're really brave, get up.
Yeah.
Open mic night.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Yeah. Go for it.
It's fun for those of us that have done it to see new people try.
I bet it is.
It's always a joy. So we're here.
We got to thank our other sponsor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Nail Ninja.
Can you make clicking
nail noises?
No.
That works. Yeah. Here.
I still don't know how you did that, but that's impressive.
Yeah.
It's a secret of the
trade. That's our sound effects.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
That's it. That's all we got. The one quality of, you know, if they want to sponsor other stuff.
Pass me those coconuts so I can do a clip clap of a horse.
There you go.
I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Nail Ninja. Coconuts. They've got two locations, St. Louis Park, North Minneapolis, Northeast.
Northeast.
Both of them are great. You should check them out. What else? Anything else? You're into nails. We do this every time, but...
I know.
Thank you.
That's cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nail Ninja.
Good job.
Okay, we do have a guest.
We do.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're totally doing it.
I think it's time.
You do.
Yeah. And I know our guest's first name is Danny.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got that
and
far.
And I believe
got that
it's Spielman?
Spielman?
No.
You're, damn it. Yeah. Not kind of close.
Damn it.
So not at
I
all.
I had it on the invite even.
Not at all.
Does it start with an S?
Spielman. No, it's a... starts with an S.
Okay.
Ends with a man.
Oh, well, that's...
S-man.
You're in there.
Yeah,
You're in there.
How many...
You want to take another stab?
How many consonants did he miss?
Take one more guess.
Just Spiegelman?
This is like a game show section.
That's not fair, because we actually don't look. I would have no idea what your last name is.
Yeah.
Take a stab, man.
I said Spiegelman.
There's no P or B after the S. There's a vowel.
Sigelman?
Hey! Sigelman? Yeah.
Did I get it?
You got it.
Yes!
Prime Mark.
Wow, you even pronounced it correctly.
I don't know if we did the full introductions.
Yeah.
That's Sam. So now we're all good.
Yes, I'm Sam, Kate, Mark.
There we go.
Sam, Kate, Mark.
We're all caught up.
Yep. So,
Danny.
So
are the listeners.
This is becoming a more and more common question. What brings you in today?
What brings you in?
Exactly.
What brings you in?
Well, you know, I think who got in touch with me? I don't know. Was it even
me?
Okay.
Yeah, it would not be me.
And I have a feeling Glenn must have referred you to me.
It was certainly Glenn.
What do they say? Were your ears buzzing? I heard my name on his episode with you guys.
Oh,
there was a shout out in there. So
nice. Shout out to Sauna Times.
I mean, I totally remember that.
Sauna Times.
Yeah.
I've spent many a time in the sauna with Sauna Glenn.
Nice.
Do you want to hear a really fun, quick,
absolutely
fun story about Glenn since you know him?
Yeah. Right.
So I had a party with my friends this weekend. We throw parties, and Glenn actually lent us his sauna tent.
Okay.
Do you know what a sauna tent is?
We do because we talked to Glenn.
Glenn told us.
Yeah. So there was a sauna. We had the sauna tent at this party. It was a Mardi Gras themed party.
Fun.
And actually, I had to work during the party, so I wasn't even there for most of it. But I come back to the party. I'm suiting up, i.e. taking my clothes off, getting ready to go into the sauna. And this woman is there, and she's super nice. We're chit-chatting about saunas or whatever. And she's like, you know, I don't know if this would really be up to Sauna Glen standards.
Oh. And you don't say.
I said, Sauna Glen? And she's like, yeah, you know, Sauna Glen. And I'm like, I'm not sure I do know. I think I know. And I'm like, who's Sauna Glen? And she's like, I don't know who Sauna Glen is. I just know that a lot of people talk about him.
Wow.
Really?
He's got a rap.
So wow. There's like a legend by Sauna Glen.
But you do know him.
I do know him.
So you were
but
just...
But it was more fun.
You just wanted to see what she would say.
Yeah, right. I wanted to see this perspective. It's like...
Where's that connection?
It's like kind of something like coming somewhat full circle or
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, anyway, I just... I thought it was hilarious. I told him about that.
She didn't actually know that it was his tent.
She didn't know it was his tent. She didn't know that I knew him. She had just moved here from Chicago. Okay. And she has some friends that are into sauna. And she said she was hanging out with her friends and they kept talking about Sauna Glen.
Well, you can't blow her away with that kind of fame on the first meeting, you don't want to get her intimidated.
I could have called him right then and there.
By the way, this is
I got a question. Is your tent up to your own par?
Yeah. Well, Glenn's sauna tent's really incredible. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. And then at the same time, I hadn't even talked to Glenn in a while. And then I got the call from you, and that's, you know, that's all one happy family.
Yeah.
I feel like what I really like about your podcast and this phenomena that I'm kind of talking about, it's community, right? It's kind of this
community vibe.
Nailed it.
I think Minnesotans or, you know, Twin Cityans have a history of being a little bit less open.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that maybe a lot of people have been working on internally and in practice, especially since the things reopened again.
Yeah.
Now that we're back out in the wild, it's like, okay, let's do stuff.
We need it.
Yep.
So if you were industrious enough in a certain way, you could have brought a couple of mics and interviewed this gal at that party as if... Like this sort of a thing, right? Like, you know?
Well, it could still happen.
Yeah,
I kind of hope to interview her about other things, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was sort of picking up on that, but I wasn't sure.
You're like, do I name drop yet or do I wait and see how things go?
Do you feel like she has an interest in being interviewed?
I was talking to this person, and this is how you know it's vibing.
Yeah.
Is she says to me at one point, wow, you're really cool. You're actually paying attention to what I'm saying at this party.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Like, so you're going to ask her out.
Which is sad, but that's rare.
Well, and then things were lingering. It was really late. My friends who were hosting needed to go to bed.
Right.
And everybody's dilly-dallying on their phones and trying to figure out where to go.
And she was over there,
and I just was, like, ready to go home. So, anyway.
That hasn't been a cool scene.
Maybe she's going to hear this.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, she'll know
who
this is. That hasn't been a cool scene since we were in our 20s or something. You know, the end of the night was always
like,
that was kind of when the connections
anything
really got
happen.
Made. But not in your 40s and 50s.
No, now it's just like...
now it's like, holy shit, it's 11:42.
Yeah. 7 hours past my bedtime.
Yeah, you're like, Jesus, I haven't watched the news. I haven't had...
I'm sorry, what were the last three sentences? All I could think of was my pillow.
Yeah, it's calling.
There's a song, you guys are familiar with the Hold Steady, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
So Craig Finn was
on my shit list because he's never come on the show. Not that he lives here or anything, but he is Minnesotan.
And he's never been invited, so.
No, I've invited him.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, you know, I wonder, he's not in town that often.
No, I know. He still made the shit list for this, though.
Sam's like, I'm still stalking him actively.
Don't worry about it.
We'll see. Yeah.
Saying he's on your shit list isn't going to encourage him to come on to your show.
Well, you never know.
You know,
we're still working on Malort. We've said some nasty shit about him.
I'll put in a good word.
He's never going to give that up.
Show up or cease and desist.
I'll put in a good word.
One of the two.
All right. Well, that could get him on the good list.
Well, my point was going to be that he wrote a song called Last Ones Up Will Become Lovers or something like that. And the whole song is about this being at a party.
End of the night.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not...
I've heard it happens.
I'm not good at ranking musicians. I really do enjoy Craig Finn.
Yes. Craig's great.
Yes. You know,
he's a genuine guy. Long before any of everything started really blowing up for him and when he lived here, we've been pretty close. You know, I see him from time to time. Last time they played the state fair this past summer, and I ended up hanging out with him at Grumpy's Bar. We can give them a shout out.
Oh, right?
Heck yeah.
Always.
It's a fun place.
And, you know, every time you pick up with him, it's like where you left off.
Yeah, that's cool.
At least in terms of our relationship. And he said, you know, I heard about your mother. My mom passed away last year. And I knew that his mom had, I know that his mother had passed on, and we kind of chatted about that. And kind of the beauty of that process that is hard to realize while you're in it.
Yeah.
It was great. And then I don't want to embarrass Craig Finn, but he left the bar kind of randomly. And I
Irish exit or whatever.
Yeah. Well, no, but I was leaving anyway at a certain point. I went out to my car, and he was kind of pacing. And he told me the story about how he has sneezing fits that he inherited from his father's side.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing. That was a thing.
I will sneeze. It'll happen. And if it happens when I'm driving, it's really it's
dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Because your eyes are closed.
Like 10 or 15 times in a row, and I cannot shut it off.
Yeah.
I get it.
Happens to me, too.
Does it?
Occasionally. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a common thing.
No, it's not.
But it's really annoying when it does happen.
And don't be surprised if the next Hold Steady album is called Sneezing
Just Fits. All sneezes.
Yeah. Nice. No, I mean,
sneezing in the fits.
We've had other musicians on the show. You sort of put these people on a pedestal, and then when you actually know
not
them,
so much.
They're like, they're just regular people.
It's all good.
Made music.
Yeah.
Who are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not. Sometimes.
I think maybe in the Twin Cities, they're a lot more common people that kind of get elevated or in a way, and it's easy to be natural. Yeah. And
yep.
Still accessible.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's a good scene.
Well, that's fun. So are you in the music world? Is that
so
why
this
is
the impression I'm getting?
Yeah.
Because we really don't do any research.
Well, I that's really interesting. And sometimes I wonder if things I've done kind of pop up in people's radar or whatever. Yeah. But I guess going backwards, more recently, I just started a new DJ job at a radio station.
Oh, okay, cool.
In town.
Nice.
Which radio station?
Yeah, do you guys listen to Jazz 88 at all?
Oh, 88.5?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been a while,
Jazz
but I know
traffic.
It's out there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So, I got that gig this past fall, which was pretty cool, and I've been loving that. So, it's something I always wanted to do. I've done radio quite a bit in my past, and being able to finally kind of do something more regular, to have a regular gig at Jazz 88 is really cool. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm reporting traffic sometimes, which is, I think...
Do you have to do it in a jazz kind of mellower voice?
Yeah.
Like, hey.
I bring my drum set,
Exactly. Play as you go. Nice.
You don't like it. You don't happen to... You don't have a way of making, helicopter noises before.
I think you could, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we have a
weird
sound effect thing.
No one's ever seen one, so I'd be like, do they have a helicopter?
Intimidated by this, and it was kind of one of the prerequisites of the job. Is like, hey, you're gonna get asked to do this and that,
and what about the traffic?
You'll get your regular show. I'm over it now, but I came in there, you go to MnDOT out in Roseville, where they monitor the traffic all over the state, and it's this giant room with 100 television sets with all the different cameras around the state. And these guys, the emergency people, and then the law enforcement, they kind of monitor this stuff all day, and they're on their radios, and they're getting calls on the phone, and it's really fascinating. Yeah. I mean, the main guy kind of showed me how he dispatches, and if there's a car on the side of the road and it's stopping traffic for miles, or which area gets prioritized. Yeah. There's only so many highway helpers during rush hour, and then he has to kind of follow where they are and who he's going to send where and to do what, and if something isn't a major problem or not,
that sounds intense.
It's super intense.
That doesn't sound different than an air traffic control center, but
always
larger scale.
Yeah, there's always traffic.
Yeah, you're making me nervous.
I know. It was anxiety a little bit there.
I know. I walked in. I said, oh, yeah, I can do that. No problem. So then my job is to deduce down to the nitty gritty. We do traffic every 10 minutes during the drive times.
Oh, wow.
And I have to kind of do the same thing. Yeah. I have to sift through all their information, all their experience, and do a 1-minute traffic report.
Right.
That sounds intense.
It's intense.
I have a 14-year-old. And he tells these wild stories about the things that he does, and he leaves out just certain details.
Yeah.
Every now and again, I feel like he just did that. So, like, you're not going back to MnDOT every 10 minutes. And standing in front of this big thing and then running.
No, but I mean, it is hard sometimes. Like, you have to, like, pee or something, and, like, you have to give the report.
Yeah, right.
And you're still, like, writing down what's happening. Because you only get, you know, a break takes 2 minutes, maybe. And then the next one comes up in seven or
but
whatever.
But, I mean, you got to be right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're wrong, not people would be like, 169's clear. What the hell is he talking about? It's like, I think we did that when we had our political one. We had it a political show. We're like, we could say anything we want. No one's going to fact check us.
I eventually realized that, you know, and you can kind of like abbreviate a lot of things, you know.
Sure.
I'll just say, you know, if you're headed south on 169 between here and there, pick another way because it's a nightmare over there.
Yeah.
Where are you getting the information, though, while you're in the studio doing your show?
Well, I'm not in the studio when I'm doing that. I'm in Roseville.
Really?
So you're at MnDOT.
Okay.
I'm at MnDOT, and I'm amongst all these guys, and I'm able to go over there and say, well, let me get this straight. Is it eastbound or westbound?
So is that like a MnDOT rule? If you're going to report on the traffic, you can only get it from the source, and they are the source in Roseville?
No, but they want people to be able to get the information.
Wow. Okay. Do you get where I'm confused?
So he's not at Jazz 88. He's at MnDOT.
Right, but you're at MnDOT. Who's man in the radio station?
Right.
Whoever the DJ is in the studio.
Okay, so then you have a patch in.
I get a patch in, yeah.
Okay, and then you're like live on location from the Roseville.
Yeah, I mean, it clearly you're not listening to Jazz 88, Jazz and Traffic.
Not nearly enough.
Traffic on the 10. Yeah. Come on, how do you know where to go when you're driving around?
How do you think he has such concise information?
You're on the current, aren't you? Just admit it.
He's on site.
Okay, so.
No, but you know. Yeah, so.
I get it now. I get it.
So, you know, hey, there's a game tonight at 7 o'clock. If you're leaving downtown, you know, it'd be, you know.
Here's the ones that are backed up.
I mean, you can imagine in 1980, this was a very valuable, this was the only way.
True
that anybody can look at the MnDOT website and all the traffic cams across the state, 511.com. You can actually
go watch that crap
you can
myself.
It's amazing, and I
that
mean
almost
I,
sounds fun.
So
it's pretty interesting, and like the cameras on the website, I think update every like minute or something.
Wow.
I see what these guys are seeing, and you get kind of, it's really fascinating getting kind of the inside scoop and the lingo and the kind of humor. These guys have been doing this forever.
Yeah, but you don't only do traffic. You sometimes get to do be the person in the studio doing the music too.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I'm excited about with the traffic part is like this point in my life or career or whatever it is that I do within my existence of being a human.
Yeah.
It was cool to like learn something new.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then apply it.
I mean, I'm envious.
That's cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I would think that was very cool too.
Hey, we might be hiring.
There you go. Well, keep looking.
But initially I was very anxious because I was like, what if I cause more traffic?
Tell them, don't go this way. And all of a sudden, like, why is that all backed up? Well, I said go that way.
And in the end, you realize, like, I'm probably not saving lives here or something, right? Like,
I think it is helpful.
I mean, maybe you save someone time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's a joke. It's sort of an inside joke. My wife's an ultrasound tech, and she's like, it's not like we're saving lives here. It's like, you know, they're not doing the thing that's going to cause someone life or death in the moment. I mean, making a mistake there, like, I think people could forgive you for it.
It's just a minute that I'm talking, and they might not even necessarily totally pay all the close attention or whatever. Yeah, it's all those factors, you know.
So when I was a kid,
which made me feel better about it. It's just like, okay, just do it and be sound cool and interesting.
Yeah.
And
did you grow up here?
I did. I grew up in Golden Valley, Minnesota.
Okay, nice.
So,
just west of the suburbs. And I mean, bring it back to music, I grew up less, you know, maybe a mile from being able to, I realized at a really young age, like 10, yeah. that I would be able to ride my bike to First Avenue from Golden Valley.
Yeah, very easily.
So, you know, my cousin and I, we'd go to a lot of the punk, they had the matinee shows.
Yep, all age shows during the day.
All age shows in the end. It was like, hey, Mom, we're going to go see a movie.
Yep.
Okay, have fun.
And we'd
You know, we'd bike the couple miles through North Minneapolis to First Avenue.
Hell yeah.
Lock our dirt bikes on the side.
Of course. Yeah, I did not experience that as a kid growing up out in Elk River. Like, I came to music late, so I'm always little envious of all the people who
You're just envious of everything over what? Here.
Well, it's a lot going on.
He missed out on some cool stuff.
Traffic and dirt bikes.
Traffic, jazz,
I don't think you missed on the dirt bike
shows.
Yeah, punk rock shows.
Yeah, no, but yeah. I think myself and the Craig Finns of the world are kind of rare. I don't know that other kids were doing that.
There are some of us.
It seems like that was a more common thing going on in Minneapolis at a certain era. There was a lot of music being played at a lot of small venues and just a really cool time to come up.
And a lot of parents who were like, go raise yourselves.
Sure.
Just be home for dinner.
Yeah. That's right. Before it gets dark. That's why they did the matinee day shows.
Yeah.
They knew we could get home.
There was so much freedom back then.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, so Chris Osgood, all the, John Munson was on the show.
Yeah.
Chan Poling, like these people are all a few years older than me.
Yeah.
Chris is a few extra years older, but he's great. But all of those guys seem to have been around in some sort of this 80s era in Minneapolis when I wasn't here.
Yeah, sure.
That I'm like, oh man, that sounds like this place was kind of rocking.
Yeah. Minnesota in the 80s wasn't a horrible place to grow up.
No.
Not at all.
There were some very sheltered areas that some of us lived in, but there were places you could go.
Yeah.
They were pretty awesome.
True. Yeah, I mean, I really benefited from being so close to downtown and benefited from having an older brother. I was 5 years older, so you know when he was 15, I was 10. We were kind of into the same stuff, and I think I was more into music.
Oh, and
than
he liked
he was,
you,
and he liked me. We
let
got
you tag along.
See,
that's
envious
a big deal.
Again.
Yeah, right. Me too on that
My
one.
My brother was a dick. I love you, Chris. You're the best.
He still doesn't.
Just
like
we tried to kill each other, and you know, to a certain extent.
Right.
And then we
right.
became friends.
Yeah.
And he was like, him and his friends were all into the punk stuff, and like they had a fanzine, and we had kind of a fake metal band that we'd make cassette tapes that we'd send to KFAI radio.
Love
and
you just never know.
And Earl Root, who was a DJ idol of mine, would play our tape on the air because he thought it was hilarious.
Nice.
And like, I think it helped. I mean, I think the radio thing, especially my father was in radio.
Okay.
And so growing up with that, my brother as well had worked at KFAN when he kind of came out of college. So, kind of being into the presenter aspect of like music putting on shows in college. I helped start Radio K at the university.
Oh, cool.
When that was a new thing.
Right.
And,
still going.
And, yeah. And so all this stuff kind of is always kind of like, you know. I went to art school, so what I did as a profession eventually is art related, but I learned from, you know, being in the scene and doing all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Fun. So how do you know Glenn, just out of curiosity?
Well, Glenn, I became really good friends with him through another friend of ours. We'll give General Moses some props, and again, he's connected to, he was a DJ at Radio K. When I was at the U, so Brad was General Moses did a ska show, a reggae show.
Ooh, and so now we're talking.
So we'd all hang out, and Brad and Glenn went to college together. So and they were way into reggae music and hanging out in saunas and all this.
I was gonna say, was that sauna college? Is they have that?
Yeah.
Sauna.
And music and going to shows and all that stuff. So yeah, Glenn and I, we've, you know, I think we lost some touch in the last few years and have kind of just reconnected more so recently with the sauna. I think a lot of people kind of scattered during the pandemic.
Oh yeah,
it was tough. It was tough. There's no doubt. Does him recommending you for this show sort of put him back on, you know, pretty high on your list of
yeah, you're like, he's redeemed himself. Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, it's to be decided. I might delete his number after.
Right. Yeah,
that's all right. That's all right.
I understand.
You guys seem cool so far, but you're only half a beer through the show.
Right. At that's any right. moment.
Yeah. First right. half. First
oh,
half.
Oh, my
it's
goodness. Different.
It's always so nice and cordial.
Oh, wow.
But the thing about Glenn I love is his, like, I think he retains the kind of the especially related to music and coming up, going to shows and kind of like the whole aspect of. So I was going to say, like, this philosophy of look like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah. Okay. Oh.
Just look like you're supposed to be there.
Is and, that sort and, of the fake it till you make it kind of thing a
yeah,
little bit?
Yeah.
That, like,
yeah.
same vibe?
Yeah. And it goes to my radio experience. Like, just. Yeah. Just show up and do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of filters into this like punk rocky kind of ethos of like just maybe it's a little taking advantage of situations, but you kind of force yourself through in a lot of situations.
Yeah, I like it.
And, if you want to do it, you do it.
I.e., sneaking into concerts.
Yeah.
And Glenn is a freaking master. I don't.
Is
did
he?
That, did that come
no.
up at all?
Well, he's not going to give away any trade
no.
secrets.
Well,
he
no.
doesn't. He doesn't want people knowing this.
No, I know.
He never would have admitted it.
No, it's kidding. Great. I mean, and I think that was a college feature for him.
Right.
And I, you know, it's same with me. So, like, you know, when I was growing up and going to these shows as a kid or a teenager or whatever, you really did kind of realize, like, okay, you kind of become a fixture of a place.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, nobody really questions that.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, there
is
was.
Is he supposed to be here? Yeah,
act
he's always
natural
here.
And yeah. act like you belong, yeah. and yeah. you can. Probably get away with some
you
stuff.
You get away with a lot.
Yeah, or at least get in for free.
Well, and you know, don't cross the lines
right.
that's going
right.
to get you, you know, blacklisted
right.
eventually. But, you know, there's been times
be
Glenn
dumb,
was like, man, I don't know. I'm a little ashamed of what I just went through to get here. I'll keep this one under wraps.
Yeah. You know?
But
that's
probably good.
That's funner than pain.
Mm-hmm.
Eh. You know?
Well, here's the trick. So I'll give one trick, I think. It's probably Uh-oh. Not a huge...
Show up with a ladder? Is it that one?
No, but okay. if you want
a good one. Oh,
a long knotted rope.
My philosophy is all you need to do is get into the building.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Right.
And then you give yourself the personal upgrade.
Yeah.
And a big thing of that, you know, you find the usher who's, you know, kind of a senior, maybe, you know.
Yep, not paying attention.
And like they're overwhelmed with this big line of people, and they're checking tickets left and right. And you get your phone, and you just do the, oh, you're over there? Okay, I'm on my way. And you just kind of
So you know why this is making Mark uncomfortable?
Shh. Why?
Because you're one of those now guys. Everyone's going to know.
So I actually had a conversation with one of the ushers at an event because I was working for a catering company. Oh, this is pretty cool. I worked for a catering. I often work for catering companies.
Yeah.
And I was doing the Guns N' Roses concert. Last a couple years ago now, I think.
Yeah. Got a Mystic or something? Or?
No, it was U.S. Bank. I was there.
Oh, yeah.
No, this one was at the Xcel Energy Center.
Oh, wasn't that one?
The other one.
Different one.
Yep.
Yeah,
they come through every so often.
There was one of the people that was security for the Xcel was there, and I was kind of running through all these things, and she's like, "Yeah, no, we know about that one. Nope, you're not going to get away with that one.
Yeah, we know.
Nice try, buddy."
Yeah.
But then there was one she had never thought of, and I could tell it really. It didn't, like, upset her, but she got really...
She really sat on it.
She like, sat on
yeah,
it, and
like,
then she really switched the
okay.
topics.
How many times does that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
And it's keeping her awake at night.
Yeah. God, how would I ever know that?
Right. I thought I was good at my
but
job.
But that was a really fun moment because we were the secondary crew, catering crew, because at that point they were still keeping... stuff separate from local crew and the touring crew.
Yep.
So, you know, you go to a concert, there's always a local crew that helps out the touring crew.
Yep.
So we were just doing the touring crew or the local crew. And for some reason, I'm sitting there mixing up some macaroni and cheese and I
As
look up
does.
And Slash is standing right in front of me.
Also on my shit
like,
list.
Hey, man.
Yeah, this happens.
He's like, hey, man, I hear you have some vegan meatballs over here. And I'm like, I do.
I sure do, God, man.
So I gave it to him. And I was like, hey, man, have a good set.
Yeah.
Oh, that was cool.
That's awesome.
That was a real moment, yeah.
I feel like joining, you know, working for a catering company is just sneaking your way in anyway. Like, isn't that why people do that job? Because it's not like the pay so much, is
it? No, it's to see what cool things you might see.
I there was a story about a guy that got a security job just so he could work the Taylor Swift concert or something.
Sure.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah. No, but I don't doubt it.
I mean, that's a long game, so but I get it.
The rule is, if you're security, you can't be doing selfies and stuff during the concert.
Right.
So he made a card, and he passed it out to a bunch of people that said, if you get a picture of me in it and Taylor's behind me, email
send it
to
it here.
Me,
there
or here's my number or whatever. And he got fired.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Everybody posted it.
Right. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but he got the picture.
And they're like, Carl, we need to talk.
There's some great videos of him.
I only want to do the one show.
I got into the story, and everybody was rallying for Taylor to try to hire this guy.
Oh, God.
You know, funny,
that's
people are funny.
Aww.
He didn't.
So it's okay.
I don't fully understand. I mean, I just don't fully understand the starstruck thing, kind of. You know, it's cool to meet people.
Right.
I like it. It's all
like
fine.
Meeting people in general.
But like being weird about it all and stuff is like just kind of...
Never had that.
Kind of creepy or something.
Yeah.
Like getting the job so that you can get the picture or doing the, you know, like going extreme with it.
Right.
Seems strange.
Yeah, I don't judge.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I like the industriousness of it, you know.
I think that's pretty cute.
Well, finding a way that works best for you. Like, say you want to do comedy, but you couldn't get stage time. Just make your own.
Oh, yeah. Just build your own comedy.
Build your own.
Underground.
You do it
in the basement, especially, would be a good idea.
Much. Start a podcast.
It's much easier than actually, you know, getting good, actually getting good and getting stage time. Just make your own.
Start a podcast.
Yeah. It's true.
Yes. So build your own stage or start a podcast. And you too can
in
feel famous for a moment.
I mean, I think it's a great thing that like all these means of expression in all directions. As long as you're, I feel like unless somebody is like really infringing on somebody's privacy I don't know. It's cool. I
as long as you're only hurting yourself and you're not hurting anyone else, have at it.
Sure.
You get to embarrass yourself.
Yeah,
well, no, he made a video. He's like, this wasn't my main job.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It's okay.
Get married at the security company.
Right.
I got out of it what I wanted to.
It's all good.
Right. He said they would consider me in 3 months to maybe work the upcoming...
A non-Taylor Swift show.
Exactly. Anyone but her. He's got blacklisted from Taylor Swift shows.
I like it.
He got his pictures.
I got to hand it to him, though. Right. That's resourceful.
It's true.
He had a problem needs solving. Yeah. He solved it.
He had to have it.
Since this is the day after the Super Bowl, I literally did not watch any of it at all.
Okay.
Were you guys... So I listened to some of your shows, and you guys talk a lot of football. Like, what was it for you? What was it for you?
Oh, I'm not...
You were awake for most of it.
I was awake. I personally am not a huge sports fan, but I will do that for the social part of it.
I've been a Vikings fan forever. We used to have season tickets, did the whole thing.
I mean, if the Vikings were playing, I would become
But see, we know that won't happen, so it's fine.
Immediately.
So there's there's no such thing as a bandwagon. You're supporting your team. It doesn't matter when.
That's
support it when it happens.
That's right. I mean, I've supported them all my life.
I like that attitude.
True. Yeah.
I like that attitude.
I've supported them in a very realistic way. Like, you guys, you go out there and give it your best,
you
little buddies.
You do your best.
Yeah.
You
see wink, what wink.
And if you do well, I'll show up at the end to cheer you on.
I mean, I watch a few games.
I like the tradition of it to a degree.
Yeah.
Especially if it's amongst people that you kind of celebrate with every week.
It's another social communal thing to do.
I just don't lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't cry when they lose.
No.
I don't get all upset.
There were many years where on Monday morning I wouldn't have a voice.
Okay, see, I don't do that.
You go to a lot of games.
I feel like that was like my
Yeah.
Like 25 to 35, maybe, that was the voice losing stage.
Mid to late 20s, very excitable about it.
Yeah.
Sporting events, but now it's just kind of
totally sober.
You still have your voice today.
Honestly, I just am kind of glad it's all over and done. Like the fact that it's mid-February, like, God, put the baby to bed. Be done with it, football.
I did think the game was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. Sure. We had fun watching it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there's other teams.
What is it? Are you a football fan?
Field goes than just us.
Yeah.
Are you into the game?
Yeah, I like sports.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Right.
I'm not going to get mad because it's just it's a game.
At that point in my life,
I'm not
so it's good.
That invested into it.
Right.
It's a you know it's a lot of rigmarole. There's a lot of money out there in sports.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It almost feels like it's too much of a show these days and not enough of a. What it kind of used to be, which is a bunch of people playing football in the snow and stuff.
Yeah.
Like
right,
back
exactly.
in the old days.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah they had to cancel it because it rained.
And then they were like, and in the off season, he works at Miller Chevrolet.
Yeah, because, exactly.
You know, because they couldn't afford to like, kind of.
Yeah, those days are gone.
Yeah, those like, days are long gone.
Yeah, in the off season, he owns a Miller Chevrolet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a turnoff that what you need at least 10-15 grand to get a ticket and get in the door.
Oh,
yeah. Season tickets
that's gross.
And all that. And the Super Bowl is outrageously expensive.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah.
But then again, people are paying it and smiling
someone is.
All the way.
That's why it's enjoyable to watch it on someone's TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I think a lot of things like the Super Bowl are hyper-realized versions of maybe their origins.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of like the political process now is like this hyper-realized version of everything's
of
kind of like gone through so many permutations and this sort of demand for attention and all the money and there's just no spontaneity.
It's all a show.
And
so much of it is
I'm with you.
You don't want to believe it's staged, but you're like, some of it.
It's all planned.
Had I been invited to watch it, I probably would have gone and I would have had a good time. But I wasn't, and I had things I had to do.
Right.
And so I've been going through. So back to my parent thing.
Yeah.
We lost both our parents in the last couple years. We're at that stage in life and whatnot, and it kind of started. Incidentally, during the pandemic, my brothers and I had to rally because we noticed things were, it was getting rough for them. Yep. Anyway, my dad was in radio, like I mentioned, and he'd gone through years and years. He'd amassed this collection of cassette tapes, and he would just like record the radio. You know, a 90-minute tape, he'd fill it up and, like, put him away.
Just
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think
that's
maybe
kind of fun, though.
I think
for
that's
his,
cool.
For his job, you know, to critique the DJs or whatever. Who knows?
Right.
He kind of loves to document stuff. I mean, there's zillions of photos of me and my brothers. And I found another batch of cassette tapes, and I've been working on one because I digitize them and I put them up on my YouTube channel.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And
cool.
People love this stuff. There's
a
lot of radio people, like radio history types, and
that's so cool.
The randomness is great. I mean,
Totally.
Think, just for radio tapes alone, I think I have like up to like 60 of them. They're from an hour to 3 hours. Some of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found one from 1971. And at Twin Cities, and you know, it has all the local ads, and it's like KDWB in 1971.
Oh, wow.
Shit. That's that's kind of cool.
Super
I'm into
cool.
this stuff.
Yeah, and that's when he either worked there at the time or was still connected to it. And I mean, now, so we rent a studio from iHeartRadio, which owns KDWB now. And, It's really interesting to see how this hyper-realized version of radio is kind of evolved.
Oh, yeah, what it is now. Yeah.
Into, like, basically, like, there's photos of my father at KDWB. There's a whole troop of staff, you know, and they're all in their 70s gear, rocker dudes, you know, DJs that have loved the music and
now
personalities.
Now it's a hard drive.
Now it's a broom closet amongst the other broom closets for all their other radio stations. But I found this tape from 1971, and there was a commercial on there for a theater in Minneapolis. I can't remember, a movie theater. Yeah. And it was an X-rated film that was out, that was playing, called Dagmar's Body. And
X-rated, nonetheless.
Skyway Lounge.
I know, it was crazy. Had a triple X. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Dagmar's Hot Pants is the name of the film.
That's okay, way
now,
better.
I was going to say, I hadn't heard of the other one, but that.
Yep.
And so I found it. It was on Tubi, actually, you know, one of the free streaming services. So that's what I did instead of watching the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
you watch 70s softcore. Okay.
Yeah.
Films.
You're going to have to send us some sort of. You're gonna. What I'd like is some audio from some of the. The things that you
say for that. Awesomely bad.
Well, yeah, let's you could link to my channel and
link to your channel
there.
That works.
Yeah.
Good. Yep.
And there's different categories, cuz I have 70s stuff, I got 80s stuff.
Nice.
He worked at a radio station called U100, which was only around for like 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's kind of like the Rev 105 of the 70s.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Cuz it didn't last very long, and it was very cutting edge, you know. Yeah. And
those usually don't.
Yeah, and there's U100 enthusiasts out there that remember the station.
Nice.
And
oh, that's funny.
I found a bunch of these like video. So this was 1972 through 74 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
This television, it was like a tape. It looked like a tape or like a reel to reel. Weird ass format.
Right.
Yeah. And so I figured out what it was, and I gave it to this guy, a friend of mine, who has a website called Radio Tapes, and he had it processed. He sent it somewhere, and it was these commercials, these television commercials that U100 had made, and they're so low budget, so cool.
Oh, I bet.
And at the very end of one of them, Lonnie Anderson is on there, and she's got her holding a radio.
Yeah. It's WKRP.
It's pre that.
Okay.
And like nobody had seen this, and if it ever played, it would have been late night in 1972,
right before the TV went off.
Late night, 1972.
Right.
No, this shit is so
10:59.
It's so cool.
Awesome.
And so like the most random stuff, and I find myself as somewhat of an archivist of certain points of my interest. Much like record collecting or DJing or talking about the history of music or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel blessed. I mean, it's crazy. You feel blessed finding all this random stuff that's
totally
been
cool.
in our family all these
just
years. And so being able to share it with people is really fun.
That's very
people
cool.
that remember this stuff. And
I love it.
You know. I'm glad that my dad documented it a lot.
That's very cool to have.
I mean, this ability to document everything is kind of not everybody was doing that.
No,
then.
Right. At that point,
you know,
not like today. Everything is documented,
right?
Whether you want it to be or not.
Yeah,
yeah, and even the stuff we're doing today, though, some of it's going to be treasures in the future too.
Yeah.
You know,
these time capsules.
Yeah. It's just the nature of the. Of the thing. You create something now, and somewhere down the road it can have value to someone else.
And why it's more interesting to me, because I think there's so much ability to create this hyper moment that isn't necessarily real.
Yeah.
And the kind of like what do you want to call it, this alternative communications world.
Yeah.
It's not even really an alternative, because it is the it's more accessible to everybody than
everybody has it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Everything's kind of flip-flopped, but it's really what I love
that's why
about
we,
being involved in all this.
We feel like this is bringing it back to something that's more traditional and real. Like, you have to...
Having a conversation.
You have to come here and sit and talk to us if you want to be on the show.
Yeah.
Because people have asked us, like, well, why don't you do remote shows and stuff? Like,
because
this is what it is. You come here, we look at each other.
Yeah.
That ain't it.
And we talk over each other, and we don't care and all that. But,
we
all right, you guys.
Yep.
Halfway through,
Phil,
for sure.
This is our break.
Yep. It's break time. All right.
We'll be back.
Save the world, it could be up to you. Wait a second, wait a minute, and we're through.
Kinetic Legacy is the company that powers the Joe Contractor app. Their unique platform blends the good parts of social tech with their one-of-a-kind data organizing system, giving communities large and small a safe private space to stay connected and to keep information and memories organized. If you and your community have a shared purpose or passion and are looking for a better way to stay connected, contact Kinetic Legacy today at kineticlegacy.us. Find out how groups from contractors to campers, tribal communities, unions, and alumni organizations are finding their way to meaningful new spaces in this increasingly digital world. Again, that's kineticlegacy.us.
If you're a fan of the show, you know that I love the outdoors. Several years ago, I stopped by a small, independent, and very much American-made little shop in Clarissa, Minnesota, called Battle Lake Outdoors. They sell the best quality canoeing packs, hunting packs, firefighting packs, and much more. Check them out at battlelakeoutdoors.com and use the coupon code LegacyMatters for a 5% discount on your order. Again, that's battlelakeoutdoors.com.
Hey, this is Kate. Visit a Nail Ninja salon and you will find yourself in a salon experience like something you've only imagined could exist or that you thought only existed in places far cooler than Minnesota. Nail Ninja feels like the unholy union of a badass tattoo joint and the International Space Station. The best equipment, exceeding state regulations for sterilization, comes together with the absolute best artists in the industry. No more boring shit. Seriously, this is a different experience and one you don't want to miss out on. Book an appointment today online at nailninjampls.com.
Wonder Woman Construction is a Minneapolis-based, woman-owned residential and commercial construction and electrical company. Lori and her team pride themselves on their commitment to long-term green and sustainable building practices, and they apply their deep understanding of building science to each project they take on. They are dedicated to the complete satisfaction of every client. One more thing that you absolutely cannot miss about Wonder Woman Construction is the fact that every employee loves what they do and truly enjoys working with each other. The best projects are those that are done by happy people. And Wonder Woman Construction is full of happy people. Visit WonderWomanConstruction.com to get started on your happiest project ever.
Save the world, it could be up to you. Wait a second, wait a minute, and we're through.
Let's do the second half. Second half, we're back.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Danny Siegelman.
Yeah. Siegelman.
Yeah, you got it right the first time.
I had it right the first time. Yeah, second half,
thank
I screwed.
You, though. Yeah. You know, it, people, different people in my family pronounce our name differently. Do you guys have that at all?
No. But my grandpa can see where that would be
only
confusing.
When he got upset at himself, though. He pronounced it differently.
Yours?
Yeah, my grandpa, yeah.
His is easily mispronounced.
Yeah, but, yeah, and a lot of fun.
Pizza Hut with
it? No, it's fine. Do you know his last name?
No, I don't.
It's pronounced Decoot.
Pronounced Decoot.
Decoot.
Decoot, but it looks like Pizza Hut with a dick.
It's D-I-C-K-H-U-T. Yeah. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Decoot.
Oh,
how could you ever get that wrong?
How did that work out for you?
Oh, it was great. You learn, you know, you get a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. We actually had this discussion because when we were going to have kids and have daughters, there was concern like, oh, what are they going to do? I'm like, they'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll make them stronger.
I mean, you just explain, hey, you know what? We're French Canadian.
They own it.
It happens.
Totally German.
Yep. Totally German.
Decoot.
Yep. Really?
Yep, very German. Sounds my youngest tried putting the umlauts back over the U just to help people out.
I like
You're
it.
So kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his girls can handle themselves.
Yeah.
They're
all good.
Yep. It's going to be fine.
So, Danny.
Yeah.
What else are you into? What do you got?
Well, I am a visual artist, too.
Are you?
Yeah. What do you got?
What do you got? What else you do?
Is that going to work for you?
Yeah.
Art? What are you talking about?
Can
we talk about football again?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't go to back school to for journalism or anything like that. You know, like
it doesn't show at all.
This is a conversation we would have.
Are you guys comedians, though? Is that your thing?
I mean, not officially.
There must be some sort of public speaking amongst you.
No. Some of us retired.
Yeah, Mark was, I mean, he built this place and then did stand
stuff
up
for a while. Yeah. Then I stopped.
Yeah, I've never done it. Never public. I worked at a camp. I worked at a boys camp for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. I was up doing stuff in front of people all the time. It was just a captive audience.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know? They didn't have a choice, so it worked out well.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was funny.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, like, Jesus. Sam's
do we have to laugh or do we have to sleep in a tent tonight? Did you like in the cabin?
Did you like reuse some of the routines like every summer?
I mean, of course.
Yeah. But you have to. You can't. Yeah. Good
material.
Do you
material have a standard that you can pull out right now?
I'm pretty improvisational, though. Like, I don't usually do the same thing twice. I've only got one joke. I told her that your mother's.
Oh, yeah. It is true. I've got one joke. One joke.
Do you want?
Give it to us. I'm catching flies here.
Like, what is it?
Because he's only got the one.
I've got the one joke.
Okay, well, let's do
it. Guy walks into a psychiatrist's office, and he's wrapped 100% from head to toe in saran wrap. And the psychiatrist looks at him and says, well, I can clearly see your nuts.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
Got dad jokes.
It's the only joke I've got.
I can't believe you made him tell it. You know how many times I've heard that?
At least like, one other time.
Yeah.
One too
enough
many.
Where you're kicking me under the table. Like why stop. Are you that, making him tell that the, joke?
There's a little
now,
bit longer.
Now it's recorded and it's in history.
There's a little bit longer story behind that. That is actually a joke my mother used to tell.
We're gonna get an angry letter from his children from in his like children, 10 like, years from now.
I
like,
told
why?
You not to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why'd you let him do
your
that?
Your mother worked blue.
Yeah.
My mother used to tell that. She has no recollection of it, but yes, that's where I got that joke. So
from your mom.
There you go.
That's even
inherited
better.
Inherited it from my mother.
That's even better. Yep. I love that.
You could get some more from her.
Don't say I never gave you anything.
But then she's only got the one. It's been handed down generation to generation.
It's kind of a family heirloom, really. Joke.
Yep. Yeah. It's the only heirloom. The problem is that I can't actually remember jokes.
Right.
So like,
I know.
Like, they're
you
like
know?
Names. Yep. They're
me
hard.
Too.
Yep.
Me too.
Oh, I'm terrible with it.
Well, you know, and I can't. I can never play guitar because I can't remember chords.
Yeah,
there you go.
That does help with playing guitar.
I know. Well, I mean, you can be like a noisy guitar guy.
There are people that do that. Yeah. There are a lot of people.
I saw this band last night. You know the Kills?
Yeah.
I love the Kills.
Yeah, they were in town, weren't they? Yep.
They were in town. Yep. And
they played
in
a room last night.
She played more guitar than I remember her playing before. And then I realized, you know, she is great at what she's doing. And I could learn that much. To be able to at least do what that is.
Are you sure? Isn't that what we all say when we see someone doing something that they practice a lot? And then you're like, I could do that.
I'm doing that. I have made efforts to actually do that stuff more now. I don't know what another. I've been on and off roller skating a little bit lately. You know,
not rollerblading, but roller skating.
Skating, right?
Well,
yeah.
After the Super Bowl halftime, everyone's back in.
Exactly. Yeah. I bet it's gonna. You
that's
know,
right.
The Usher bump at the roller rink.
Yeah,
had his skates made here in Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Red Wing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
You should get that.
$1,400 a pair.
You guys don't.
Do you not watch the news?
You don't know these
I got
people.
It from the radio. Oh.
She's trustworthy. He's not.
Wow. I'm mostly trustworthy. Especially if I repeat what she says.
Yes. As long as it comes from her, it's fine.
Are we
going to
go about
bullshit.
The whole hot yoga thing again?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Bullshit.
It's fantastic.
Man, I was fish on.
He's very big into hot yoga these days.
No, not these days because my place closed. Yoga Pioneers
anyway.
It closed. Yeah, in Bloomington. It was great.
Is that the only place to do hot yoga?
The only that does like classic. Otherwise, it's like power core yoga. That's not it. It's not the same thing.
I am trying to, speaking of doing something new, I'm trying to do, what do you call it? Sensory deprivation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dunk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever done this?
No,
but I would immediately sign up for that.
You would do it?
Yep.
I did a salt cave. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very low key.
I mean,
what's the dunk part of it?
Well, do you know what a sensory deprivation tank is?
Chamber, yeah.
Yeah,
like, you get in there and it's your like
the salt water and no sound, no light, and you just need to, you know, like
be alone with yourself.
Yeah,
Jesus. I know.
You know,
well,
that sounds amazing to me.
I would love to, have that. I'm like I said, sauna is like maybe the closest to that.
Right.
I
guess. Stepping stone.
Yeah.
And
turn up the rocks real high, and it's a lot of noise. You can't hear anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's the dunk part?
Well, you're in the water.
Yeah, you're floating in
floating
salt
in the water.
In a dunk tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just thought that was always kind of
like,
part of the thing.
Think of it as a really complicated coffin filled with salt water.
Yeah.
And they just kind of lock you in there.
They
lock you in there forever.
But how do you get oxygen? How do you breathe? Do they give you a thing? A snorkel?
I don't know.
I think you're floating above it.
Or you? I mean, there's got to be air.
Oh, you're float. You're not actually underwater.
Yeah, not fully encompassed.
Right, your face is out.
Yep.
Your face is out.
Yep. You're buoyant enough that your face and part of you is out,
and
you're just
and you're in a thing that has no light,
right.
And no sound.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You liking this?
Well, I have sound going all the time.
Well, yeah, constantly. That's why I mean, like,
I'm doing these tapes and all the. I'm playing drums and I got all these keyboard. It's insane at my place.
Always.
And I think I would benefit from it. I think some of my internal anxieties and habits, if I could find that focus. I mean, it seems like it'd take a long time though to really change your.
Do you meditate at all? Have you ever?
I don't, but I should, and I have. Yeah.
Yeah. You have. Have you ever tried guided meditation?
No, I it's been a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a friend.
Some of those
in town
are really good now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie, I have a friend.
I love it.
Mary Bew, shout out. She does guided meditation retreats.
Hmm.
And I've thought about going on one of those. I think it's like she's leaving for Bali you know, leads.
Well, that sounds legit.
Right.
Yeah. That's
about... Wait, the meditation teacher is leaving for Bali?
Yeah.
She probably knows a thing or two. She has tips.
I could see saving up for one of those trips, but maybe I need to ease into the
practice. If you want to try it locally,
maybe
start
there.
You know a guy?
Yep.
A person?
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. You do it?
I have. It's been a few years since I visited her, but yeah, I did it for a long time, and I loved it. I should be back.
You've been meditating this whole time, Adam.
I used to meditate when I fished. I realized that it came to me that, like the hours that I spend in a boat not talking,
right.
Just fishing, not even catching fish. I don't care if I'm catching fish. Nope. I'm meditating the whole time.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I don't do that anymore either.
I feel
either.
Like my meditation, or when I'm feeling... in a zone is typically a very erratic situation and craziness.
Yeah, and that is comfortable for you.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. But I like the balance of silence too and having a way to bring yourself back down, I think is understated.
Do you do it often?
Maybe I had kind of a dry spell, but lately I've been trying to do it before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Because I have a hard time shutting off the voices in my head.
Yeah.
And it's really important
to
do
that.
It's hard, but I also through treatment for PTSD had a professional therapist kind of teach me some techniques.
Nice.
And I cling to those to kind of like get to my quiet, happy place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of get yourself
I don't want to dredge anything up.
No, go for it.
But you said voices.
Yep.
Is it usually like we all have the one internal voice that's
you just got one?
Yeah. I feel like
you got a couple people going in out there. What do you think?
I think
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a group effort.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, are you talking about like when your brain is talking to you and you're talking to it, and it's
that
like
that conscious, your conscious voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sometimes it feels like there's a panel up there, and one of them wants to talk about this, but
they're all zoning in on something different.
Yeah, it gets noisy up there.
Tell them to shush.
It doesn't suck. I mean, when you're like that your whole life, you don't really know any other way. But
it is bad. Just
there
curious.
Is great value in just.
Yeah, so Danny, you're considering these things as options.
I think I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I want to get into that. That's like
what's the barrier
that I want to. I don't think there's a barrier. It's just like anything that you don't do on the regular.
Right.
It doesn't get.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
How's
become
it present
a part
itself?
Of
how do you go? Okay.
Where do you start?
Where do I do this?
I get it.
But I do
it.
Love. I do acupuncture pretty regularly, like once a week.
Do you enjoy that?
I do.
Obviously, or you wouldn't keep doing it?
Yeah.
I do. In fact, I made some adjustments to how I've been doing it because when I started, I was like reading a book and all this stuff, and now I really just don't do anything
else.
Yeah,
that's great.
But that,
I've always wondered about that.
I hear great things.
It's good. I notice a difference. I do feel some strain in my shoulders from time to time. I'm a drummer, and so I think there's a lot of maybe tension and I don't know what you want to call it, like resistance or
repetitive.
Repetitive.
Yeah, right.
You get the same.
Right.
Yeah. So Yeah, just to take it like Northeast Wellness. Shout out to them.
Nice. Nice. Hey.
Good. I love it. I love shouting out.
You can try and shout out as much as you will. You will never break our record. So
really?
Wow. Shout out Dan Waldschmidt.
Yeah. Waldschmidt.
Nice.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, he really was good.
I don't
want
to exaggerate, but I think it was about every 32 seconds.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was impressive. Amazing.
I was like, God, it just keeps going.
Yeah, and I'll hear from him now that we mentioned him on the show.
Of course.
I love it. Hey, Dan.
But yeah, they have saunas. I do acupuncture there, and they have the sensory deprivation.
Oh, very cool.
It's on my list.
Oh, see there. It's right. See, now you know you have the access. You're like, it's an option.
Well, you know what? He offered me a free one, so there's really no excuse.
Try before you buy.
Zero excuse. First one's free.
All right. So, well, next time you see me,
there you go. Yeah. You'll be changed.
I'll have that check off my checklist.
Oh, you'll be so calm.
Check that box.
Yeah.
But as a drummer, and I mean, you've got kind of an energy to you anyway.
Right? I'm very extroverted. I love information. I love taking in stuff and reorganizing it or appropriating. Like I said, as an artist, I do a lot of collage and musically, I feel like I'm always combining random sounds and as a DJ, I've sampled different things here and there. So yeah, that all gets kind of, and I consider almost everything I do to be an avenue of expression.
Yeah.
So if I'm the DJ guy on the radio or if I'm the traffic guy, there's a performance
that's
part of my creativity. In addition to the visual art and the music and putting on a party. I mean, I have a friend, really great, fun friends, and we treat it the kind of the Andy Warhol philosophy of the art happening or the happening as the
that
work of art.
I love.
I love that
idea.
It's an exhibit.
I knew you guys last week. You could have come to the sauna party.
Yes,
totally.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, like
well,
I said.
Well, don't go too zen then.
Yeah.
It's too zen?
You know, don't let them chill you out too much.
Oh.
Right?
Keep the energy and the action up.
I want to be able to turn it on and off when I can. I feel like I'm constantly surrounded by the chaos.
Yeah.
And I've minimized.
There are those of us that thrive on the chaos. You almost need it to be like, yeah, that's what I'm accustomed to. I need that.
Yeah.
To feel kind of that, okay, we're good.
A part of it I would say has been encouraged by I stopped drinking a couple years ago, and that really minimized the time that I was kind of not really doing the creative things.
Right.
Oh, and like, you know, for example, last night I went and saw The Kills.
Yeah.
Normally, I would have gotten off work at 5. I would have met for a happy hour. I would have met my friends downtown at the
but
depot.
It's a different experience.
Yeah.
Have 3 beers at the show, and then you go to the after bar or whatever.
Yep.
And
you're tired the next day, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, and as you can't do this.
It kills your creative juices too.
Creative juices, and then within that lifestyle, when are you ever going to be able to meditate?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I've kind of really transformed my lifestyle and the things I do and what I'm doing with my time and how I relate to people and my engagement and. Being able to like go to, like, oh, The Kills are on at 9:15. Yeah. I will call my Uber at 8:30.
I'll go to the show.
I know
that's
how to work your way through a crowd enough times by looking like you're supposed to be there. Oh, hey, you're up there. I'll be right there.
Hey. Yep.
And
hey, Steve.
Bam.
Steve.
The band's on stage.
Yep. Yeah,
I love it.
Yep.
So yeah, being able to kind of like that lifestyle where I was kind of freewheeling and craziness all the time. I didn't see really benefiting me much anymore.
Yeah.
And been able to kind of channel the process or the channel the act of like being a music fan into a performance art in itself.
Yeah.
And go on the radio the next day and talk about the Kill show and whatever. I don't know that I would have been able to all connect all those dots before.
Right. Remember all of it. And
remember
everything
be tired
that happened.
Enough, kind of bummed out anyway.
Yeah.
And it's been especially with the transitioning through taking care of our parents and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing really well lately. So it's, even
you can
with
feel
this.
The change, and you're like, okay, yeah, this was right.
I mean, that's what got me here on this podcast. Yeah, really.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That's cool.
Right.
Yeah. You guys would have never had me before.
Probably would have.
We probably would have. I mean, honestly, we do share, the three of us. We share a genuine interest in the people around. Like I love meeting people. This there's a part of this that it is a little bit of an energy expenditure or something like that to meet people.
Yeah.
Which is like when we do it every week, it starts to be a little taxing.
Yeah.
But it also, I really love it. Like it opens my eyes. Like I wouldn't have met you otherwise.
No.
Yeah.
You know? That's the best thing. You get to see
and
talk to people.
I would have probably avoided all three of you.
Well, for sure. And you may well after this as well. There's still that option. But it's like, when do you in your normal day go like, oh, hey, I've got 2 hours where I'm going to get to sit down with someone, just chat and find out about them. Yeah. You normally don't get that kind of time.
I think anything I've noticed in the past couple of years is people's levels of engagement. Yeah. And I see it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And not that it needs to be about me all the time. After all, the Leo mantra, of course, enough about me, let's talk about me.
Right.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, when you're kind of in the field that I've been in as well, it's the attention economy. And when you're not really given, when like I said, at this party, this person, wow, you're really interested in what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I try to give that to people a lot.
Yeah.
And, and when I think
you're talking to some people that understand that,
and it not necessarily always have to be so tit for tat, like but realizing that people's self awareness is at different levels,
right.
And I find myself trying to develop my own kind of way of being that type
actually
of person that I would want to talk to.
Some people don't understand that when you're sharing experience, like, oh, I've done something. It's like, no, that's a connection. I'm not trying to one up or go, oh, you know what I did. It's like, no, oh, I understand what you're saying. I know where you're coming from.
Right.
Here's why I connect with that. Here's why I understand what you're saying about.
Yeah.
And you're sharing that and connecting with people that way, which is important.
Yeah. And I think we use a lot of kind of social traditions. I'm not only talking about drinking, but that's a great example of being the means of kind of those connections. Yeah. And at a certain point, I realized that wasn't a connection
at all.
Yeah,
that's not the connection.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't. Sometimes that connection is difficult for people, and that maybe, you know, as they say, liquor loosens up your lips a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Like maybe that just takes away some inhibitions so that you can connect. Not that that's the answer.
But that's not always the case. So that's why it's but it starts out that way.
I don't even know that it has to do with inhibition. It certainly has to do with inhibitions.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the patterns of where you find yourself and what you do.
Right.
When I stopped drinking cold turkey, I didn't know what to do with myself. I had so much. I was like, oh, my God.
For time.
The kills are on at 9 and it's only 5 right now.
You're like,
what am I
going to
do? I can't talk.
I could write a book.
I'm not going to. I don't want to meet anybody. I don't want to have to.
Yeah.
Right.
What am I going to it's kind of developing your own patterns of other things you find interest in wellness.
It actually gives you time to do other things.
Yeah. I think without getting I think if people feel I've gone through crazy depression and all the stories of therapy and whatnot have been very helpful. But I think if people finding themselves stuck in a situation that seems like a cycle at a certain point, I'm a huge advocate for changing up your game.
Yeah, getting out of the cycle.
Yeah. Even if you're still drinking, at least just like
break the cycle.
Go see different bands.
Yes.
Right.
Do something different.
Yeah.
I've always said it's like nobody can make you do anything. No one can. You're the only one. You decide what you're going to do. Do whatever the hell you want.
I think our lives get really entangled in the core people we spend so much time with, if it's a job or your partner's friends or your family or whatever. And when things change and aren't working for you in that in those structures, then you know it's take up a new
I've been trying
to and then I'm like, well, what else do I like to do? What are my other
what else do I want to try?
I've been collecting records and going to four or five concerts a week since I was 17, you know?
Right.
I've been kind of at least trying to find the different things that inspire me. What do you guys do outside of
Oh, geez, I don't know.
I do a podcast. I do a...
No, I worry sometimes that we're, like, promoting drinking culture or something by drinking on the show.
Trying to.
No, we're not trying to. This is for us. This is a social outlet.
Yeah, right? That's exactly what this is.
We come here. Yeah. We have a couple of beers.
Yeah, and that's
we
it.
Give each other a hug good night. We say we genuinely meet some really cool people, and then we go home. You know,
no,
at a reasonable hour.
Exactly,
at a reasonable
hour. And we're home in bed at a decent time.
I don't denigrate the. The enjoyment of it.
I didn't get that impression.
I don't think you did, but I became a bartender as soon as I stopped drinking.
Yeah.
I
know people who do that.
And I wanted to come to the, because I love drinking culture, clearly. I love going to
the social aspects.
Go to Grumpy's on St. Patrick's Day and hear the bagpipes.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Yes, amazing.
This time, I don't have to stay there for four more hours drinking.
Yeah.
I'm there for a half hour and I'm gone.
Enjoy the good parts. When everybody starts getting sloppy and dumb, you're like, have a good night.
Yeah. Being part of people's reverie in that situation, bartending for catering. Yeah. I poured wine at Tina Smith's private party at her house one time, you know, like somebody I love and admire.
Yeah.
And putting myself in these situations is still really important. I love going to see music.
Yeah.
Not until, but I really did avoid everything until the THC beverages came out.
Really? I've heard of those.
Yeah.
Simmer down.
You know, I would say I qualify as Minnesota sober.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it is, and it's great.
Yeah.
And I think
I know a lot of people who transitioned away from alcohol.
It's been so good for so many people.
The THC stuff.
It's great to see. It really is.
I think it is good.
That's,
we got Lance. We had Lance on.
Lance. Was that last week?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. But
I think it's a little bit maybe the window of our generation now.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of like, well, I really still want to keep going to shows.
Yeah, I still want to go out. I want to be social. I want to do things.
I
don't need that element.
I just remember when I would go see see the Descendants when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wasn't 400 pounds at those shows.
No, they were not. Now
good
you go
point.
Over there, like, hey, everybody grew up in one way or another.
Yeah, they all grown
up and out. It's a little different.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's true. It's true. Anal ding dongs.
I at least see a healthy path that I've taken.
Which is great. Yeah. I mean, it really makes a difference. Because then you can enjoy what you want to enjoy longer.
And I jog. I've been jogging a lot.
Oh, see, the jogging thing, I don't know about
You don't
that.
Get into jogging?
No, I don't get into that.
God, I mean, I used to... I ran cross-country in high school. Like, not at a high level or anything, but like... That was like the last time I ran.
If you're doing it, you're to me, you're running at a high level.
I saw
if you're
drop
like
a
doing
piece of paper. I saw you run.
Yeah. Oh God.
Which is great, but that's it. But that's it. You're finding other outlets and things. You're like, you know, I wouldn't have done this before. Now you're like, I want to try this.
Yeah, I don't want to bring it back. I don't want to, like, I do. That's why I'm saying
I think
it.
You're doing it. Yeah. Don't say I'm not going to do what I'm going to do.
Danny, you asked us what we do, and I don't want to skirt that issue for anyone who might be listening.
Right.
Who, like, because we do often, we get to know our guests pretty well, but we don't always get
to. It's like a therapy session.
Was it also Glenn?
I think we got back to it. Yeah.
Sana Glenn who turned it around and asked us
Marino.
Questions.
Yeah, he did.
He took over.
He did.
Glenn did a little bit.
Glenn did too, right?
Glenn did too a little bit.
Yeah,
he did.
And that's going to be my habit too.
I've
always been into music. I've always enjoyed music. I mean, I grew up in Rochester, so I would come up to the all age shows at age 13. Up to see 7th Street Entry, Ryan's Pub, all these places that had all these great shows.
Who is like the most well known band from Rochester?
Ooh.
No, there isn't one.
None?
No,
there really is at least one.
Nope. You would think so. With all that money down there, somebody would have enough money to make a good band.
Wait for it.
Well, somebody must have moved up here, though, from Rochester and, like, you know.
He's, like, shaking his head. It's never been done.
Hasn't happened.
I'm trying
happened.
To think my...
There's a couple, but nobody that you would ever hear
of. Well, musically, what is Rochester most known for? Is there a venue or an arena?
No.
They don't have
there was the Mayo Civic Center.
They had a lot of drug problems.
John Thorogood, James Taylor.
There you go.
I mean, but nothing.
You mean George Thorogood?
George Thorogood, yeah.
No, it was his
brother. Yeah, his, I said there wasn't cousin. Really much as yeah, a Roger right? Clinton
of, no, we couldn't get Julio George, Iglesias, but his third cousin, John.
Unknown. Yeah.
I know, I remember the year that they had what would they call it, the Sunfest or something, and it was like, it was the Suburbs and Chameleon, Yanni's first band.
Oh, yeah, Chameleon.
All of that came through Yanni. Rochester. Yanni. Oh, yeah.
Dude, see what is favorite. He even thinking?
He's always had that
he
hair.
He killed his publicist right after that show.
He's always had that hair. No, he hadn't got on his own yet.
Really?
When he was a Chameleon.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was, I mean, there would be stuff that come through there, but yeah, we'd have to come up to the cities to see any music.
Yeah.
Which,
how long of a drive hair. Is Rochester?
Not quite. An hour. Depends how fast you drive. About an hour.
But what's the county fair down there?
Olmsted County Fair.
Oh, Olmsted. Yeah. Olmsted.
Okay, we did
Olmsted.
Have a good demolition
yeah,
derby.
Because I was like, well, somebody's yeah. playing at yeah. that twangy like show.
There'd be some stuff down there, but no, there was never really a venue. There was no, I mean, there were some smaller ones, but yeah. nothing that really hit. There just was no, I mean, you've got Minneapolis, St. Paul, and so much up here.
Right.
There's not really anything to go down to. And, I mean, it was a big town because of the Mayo Clinic and IBM, so it was a very, yeah. very blue-collar business, very...
But not good music.
No, there's one band that came out
so
of there.
So what was your guy's favorite concert?
No, it's so tough.
What Prince.
Prince?
Yeah, the Musicology tour at the XL Energy Center. It was surprise tickets.
I didn't know that the time was opening up either.
And, like, they gave you a copy of the CD when you walked in. Like, that was taboo. Like, they changed the rules after that, and Prince was like,
yeah. Yep, I can do what I want.
That was...
Yeah. I got two of them at home.
Yeah, that was... I still have it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an amazing show to watch him perform. That was the spring of 2004.
Yeah.
Because... I had just returned from Europe from Julian Dick's wedding in the Netherlands.
Wow.
And then my boyfriend at the time proposed to me while we were in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. But then we came back, and then there was another gift, and it was Prince tickets.
Wow. Oh, that's nice.
So me and Amy Conwell went.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Nice. That's nice.
God, it was great. It was the costume changes, the guitars,
everything. It was
the audience
impressive.
Connection. Yeah. That was my best show.
It was like a huge homecoming.
I regret not going to that because I remember it coming. There was a long period of time I was just like, you know, fuck Prince. He's so
You're like, come on.
You know, tell us what time you're gonna play.
Yeah,
whatever. Just healing.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. How many more hours?
And then I just kind of stopped. Paying attention. I mean, I guess I would always kind of check out the records, but I mean, now it's just like I'm all in on the great stuff.
Yeah. Everything is impressive.
Yeah, very. Me?
Yeah.
No, you're next.
God, I don't even know. I mean, honestly, I'm so bad at this stuff. I'm really not. To be fair, I love every concert I go to. Every one of them, I'm just mesmerized by the fact that these people can be up there and make it. And like someone's doing something on one thing and someone's doing something on another. And then there's someone banging away on stuff.
And it all works.
And none of it makes any sense to me. I'm completely non-musical.
You're non-musical. Right?
But I love music and I listen to music all the time. And so, like, honestly, every single show I go to is just like a 3-year-old looking at the coolest thing they ever saw.
Yeah. It's a new toy every time.
Yeah, so I don't really know, but I also have this kind of odd, I don't like large groups of people. So everyone goes to concerts and they're like, come on, let's get up to the front, you know? And
no, I don't want to do that
either.
I'm
like, oh, God, I would prefer to stay way back here. I think probably my favorite show, though, was, if I had to say, was Reverend Horton Heat in Fort Collins at a small venue.
Nice.
Friends got me the tickets because they knew I really enjoyed Reverend Horton Heat. And it was because it was
such a great show.
It was such a small... space kind of, you know, it was big enough, but it was a little theater and that to me I just enjoyed a lot of that.
Mark,
I don't know,
I can't play this game.
You can't play it's hard.
You
it's a really
hard so
one.
Many
how about your first concert?
Yeah.
The first concert that I wanted to go to that I'm like, I want to buy the tickets for, it was the Thompson Twins with the Reflex.
Dude, that
where
is
were they?
Nice.
Eau Claire? Yeah. Remember Reflex, The Politics of Dancing?
No, is
that was their one hit.
Is Reflex with the PH?
No.
R-E-P-H?
No, Reflex. So it was The Politics of Dancing was their big hit. But Thompson Twins, me and my buddy Kevin, we were in the Thompson Twins.
Still love
I had
them.
The hair, everything. We're like, Thompson we're going Twins. To Thompson Twins.
Yeah.
That was the one that I wanted
Hold
to go
now.
To. Yeah. I will.
Yeah. Okay.
Good song too. No, but that was it. That was the one. That was the first one. Like, I want to see this. I know. How could you not? It's a concert quiz.
Oh, yeah. That one. Yes.
Warm my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. That was it. No, it's been an endless barrage of music, which is awesome, and I love it so much.
He works for First Ave.
There we said it. There we said it.
Okay.
Dang it.
Why? I don't know why this is such a known secret.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows I've been shouting after listening device.
For the Kills Monday night. I almost went.
I was there a week ago.
I think I texted you about it.
I know we were supposed to go.
I was there a week ago as well.
Yeah.
DJ Shadow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I can't tell you. I mean, how many times? So you're there all the time. What are you doing there?
Working.
You work?
Yeah.
But I go to shows. He's a manager with the company.
So you must. Yeah. Oh, you're a manager.
Yeah. Okay. So I go to shows too.
Company well, yeah.
Man. As much as I can.
I mean, I've been friends with the managers there forever. Yeah. I did a book with Daniel Corrigan called Heyday.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dan is a photographer.
Yes, he is.
Bringing it all back. Yes. Dan had the same philosophy. Look like you're supposed to be somewhere.
I think that he has a t-shirt he'd wear around that said that. That was it. He always had that mantra. And Dan was a blast to work with. I miss him. He was so much fun to be around.
Dan's great.
We need to get press credentials. Like, we need to be the Legacy Matters show. We have to act like we belong here because we've got press credentials.
Well, I think Mark and I can pull it off, but you are kind of a loose cannon, Sam.
Just goes
I don't know
off
if anyone's going to blow our cover,
goes off
right?
The rails. It's all good.
Okay. It's probably true.
Danny, I want you to answer the concert question.
Yeah. And I want to know what you do before we're going to have to wrap it up here relatively soon. But,
sure.
I want to know what you do in the visual art world. You said
sure.
You actually,
yeah, I'm a painter. I do a lot of collage and painting. And
is it good?
I think
you
got to
ask the question.
I do get compliments.
I know a lot of artists, and you're like, okay, which kind are you?
No, into this though, I was like, I need to kind of self promote more.
Yeah.
I don't have a website. I have an Instagram.
Yeah,
that's Paper Sleeves, all one word.
Nice.
And a lot of my art is on there.
Yeah.
And I think of it as just kind of a component of everything I do. But I'm very intentional about it, and I make a lot of pieces. And I've been just really into making collage. But I take photographs of people or things, I print them out, and then I make collage with my own photos. So it's like these multi-layered processes.
Right.
Oh, I like it already. That's I'm a big fan of the... So answer this question for me, if you would. Do you have a bunch of art that lives somewhere not in people's homes?
Like, I have a ton. Yeah, it lives in my home.
You're sitting on a ton of art.
I have a lot of inventory. Tons of inventory,
I want to help artists get rid of... because it...
Not get rid of a document, get it out there.
It just does no one any good. And in the absence of your art being in someone's house, because there's this this barrier, this inapproachable sort of but I can't buy real art. And the artists are basically like, but please take it off my hands.
Well, and then it's a little precious to me too. It's
right.
Like, that's the problem.
Yes, that's what it is.
I'm like, what's the amount that I would.
Oh, you're talking not, Art Liberator. I've got this whole idea for Art Liberator.
Okay.
We'll talk about this afterward.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it because the deal is, I don't think it devalues it.
No.
I think a lot of people end up holding on to art. And it's this burden that they carry with them because it is precious to them, and they got to hold, they got to keep it safe.
Yeah.
So it does, and it costs a lot to keep it in a temperature-controlled thing.
Right.
And if you could just get it in the hands of people so they could enjoy it, and in the absence of you doing that, you know what they do? They buy their fucking art.
They buy crappy art.
They buy their art at
big box,
whatever,
anywhere.
Target, or the. What's the barrel one or whatever? Crate and Barrel.
I it's not as much a struggle as it's just another thing I need to be doing, and it needs to be more intentional, more full time. I need to have a studio. I love the art world year.
Yeah.
I've been
amazing.
In and out of that through the years, and I don't have a studio space. But I know that could be a really value. That could be a part of my experience.
I respect people who make art.
I do throw stuff on the internet, and people get I get comments, and people are always like, "Oh, I love your stuff."
If you love it so much, buy it.
Right. Well, I don't. You know, it's just like the compliment is enough.
Oh, right? That's okay. Yeah. But we don't get. Well, no one ever
comes back around. Then what's your favorite concert that is?
Okay, my favorite concert. Yeah, yeah. I have a few. Yeah. But I won't cop out. I'll say the top as an experience. Yeah. See, I think there's a lot of things about this. Yeah, is it the experience? Yep. Is it the actual music? Is it da da da?
Yep.
So I lived in China for a year.
What?
In 2009, I was a radio DJ in China.
Of course.
So
why not?
Again, it kind of all comes back together.
I saw that coming.
Yep. It was an English speaking station.
Okay, I also saw that coming.
I would hope so.
That turned me into a writer because I was writing about it.
Yeah.
I wrote a cover story for the Star Tribune at the time.
Nice.
And then when I came back home, I started reviewing concerts. I started writing for City Pages and whatever random blogs or remember blogs were everywhere.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They were the precursor to podcasts.
Yes. So I go to China for this job, and I'm just like, what? What is going on?
How the hell?
And I'm looking online to see what concerts are coming through Beijing.
Yeah. Oh,
and like 4 days later, Ennio Morricone is conducting the 300-piece Hungarian Orchestra at the Great Hall of People, which is the Parliament building, built by Mao in the 60s, had it built. On Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
And I learn how to say the amount of money that I'm willing to spend on a ticket, and I go down there. And it's freaking chaos.
Oh, I bet.
Just like, oh my God. Wow.
Big free for all.
I have no idea if I'm going to be able to get back to my apartment yet or whatever. I'm just like ready to go. And I'm imagining this government building. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be guards everywhere. I'm going to have to figure out where my seat is. Yeah. I bought a ticket for like $10 on the street.
Right.
And I go in and I'm, I don't know where to sit. And I walk in and it's just total chaos in there. There's people running around. There's like animals and there's children. I mean, the concert is happening, but it's like, you know, it's just like if you went to Union Depot in St. Paul and there happened to be a Patti Smith on stage or whatever.
Something could be happening. Just have it. Stand around and see what happens.
So I just walk as far up as I see a seat, like five, you know, rows back, and I sit down, and there's all these Italian, like, diplomat government type guys around me. Dressed in tuxedos, and they're crying because the Il Maestro is on stage.
Oh, yeah. Here we
go. The bad, the ugly.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm a huge Metallica fan.
Yeah.
And their intro tape is always Ennio Morricone's Ecstasy of Gold.
Yeah.
And that comes on, you know, and I'm just like crying.
Like, oh
and I'm
God,
like,
if
I've
Metallica
only been
comes
here
next.
Four. Yeah, they walk out.
Oh my God. That would be best.
Wait.
No, but I'm hearing that.
That's
I've
what I was waiting for, too.
You know, that's the type of minutia I'm going for.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Ennio. I love soundtrack music. I love film music and jazz and all this. I mean, he was the, you know, pride of Italy and the genre that he kind of created, the spaghetti western music. So I mean it's hard to top that.
Yeah.
And I was only there 4 days and I'm
how am I gonna top that?
Hell yeah, I'd move back too.
I did see the Backstreet Boys in China too, and that was totally
and yet
different.
Not the same experience.
So, well, the story with that was we were joking about it at work.
$10 a ticket too.
And I worked with all these people from all over the world, and my friend Wolfgang's from Vienna, and he's like, "Oh, Danny, we gotta go to the Backstreet Boys."
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like,
"I love the Europeans."
Like, I don't know, man. Really? He's like, "Oh, we gotta go."
Yeah.
And he's like, "You know how to haggle. You know how to get the tickets outside. You gotta take me."
Yeah. Do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Wolfgang had told me about his crew of German-speaking friends that all meet in Beijing. They get together in a German bar and they wear their lederhosen and they just get trashed on German beer.
Yeah.
Somebody gets
sounds
into
like everything I've
Wednesday.
Know of
they get into the country. And I mean that type of drinking culture I can get down with.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
They do it differently.
They do it differently.
So, I said to him, "Wolfgang, I'm only going to go to the show if you wear your lederhosen." Danny, this is a fantastic idea.
He's like, "That's not a challenge."
Yeah. Right.
I was going to anyways.
If
okay.
That's what it takes.
So,
it's already done.
We did see the Backstreet Boys, and that was probably the worst concert I've ever been
to. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Those guys barely showed up to the show.
Oh,
it was all on tape.
Oh, God.
They had the audience sing everything.
Well, half of them probably can't sing anymore, anyways.
Right.
My auto tuner's broke.
Yeah.
I love it.
But, So, that's a nice kind of I mean,
why are foreigners so much more fun than Americans most of the time?
I like to think I was pretty fun with my friends. I mean, he's saying nice things about me. I think Wolfgang's on a German podcast right now.
Oh, there you go.
The German version.
These great travelers, American travelers.
Yeah.
But what's your traveling experience? I mean, you've been pretty well world traveled.
I've not been to Asia. I've been a lot of other places. Spent some time in Azerbaijan. We put on concerts there. Germany.
Yeah.
Italy.
I really enjoyed.
A lot of
Europe. I had the best meals and the worst meals ever in Italy.
Yeah.
One of the worst meals.
What
I've
are the
ever
worst meals?
All I can say is if you're in Italy and up in the mountains, do not go to a seafood restaurant.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. You know, I don't want to say that story writes itself, but
yeah,
you,
I was
you,
just like,
you picked it.
Second chorus, no one in there spoke English, but by second chorus, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Had to ask them to stop. It was so bad.
You should have ordered the Bald Eagles.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, oh my God, we have to go. So yeah, we just drank wine and left. It was good.
You can always rely
What's
on the
most
wine.
Exotic foods any of you have eaten on foreign travel?
Oh, shit. Whatever they'll give me.
Cooler oysters.
You'll eat anything?
I will do it.
Beach cooler oysters.
Gross.
Yeah, I mean, I won't do the things that, like, I don't need to eat, a scorpion's tail or something for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
Like, but I definitely dive right into whatever the local food is. Yeah. Like, I want them to give me the thing that everyone else
is. Like, here's what the tourists eat. Well, then I don't want that.
No, I
want
to.
What do you eat?
Like, in China, I haven't been to China, but like in Azerbaijan, places like that, like, if there's people lined up buying the food, I'm going to get in line with
them. There you go. Yeah. That's how you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a place a friend took us to. The rule was they give you whatever, and like chef's choice kind of, and you're free to turn it down. But you know, you kind of go through each course, and like I think to test us, the first thing they put, I mean, it didn't even look like it was dead. It was a bullfrog. it wasn't cut
gulping.
Up or anything. Yeah. It wasn't
just
fried. It was just a dead bullfrog in a bowl. And I'm like, what am I? Even if I wanted this, what do you do?
Yeah, do you have some instructions?
I don't know the etiquette. Is there a finger bowl?
Yeah, you swim through your finger bowl.
Yeah, should I be giving
those scalpels
mouth to mouth or what? Like, can we bring it back? Yeah, that would. I'm not sure I'd do that.
Yeah. You have to
tastes like
pins.
Chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Raw chicken.
Man. Well,
on that note,
yeah, I think we did it. We we made it through.
This is fun.
To the end.
Like I said, I mean, I do love telling stories. So
yeah,
you know, it's a great opportunity.
I hope the secret. I don't want the secret to get out, but like you two can have a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We prove every time how easy it really is.
I have
is.
A radio show.
Can I plug? Oh,
can
please
plug?
Do. That's correct.
So,
what are you doing now?
So, the Jazz Impulse, this is my first promotional moment.
Nice. Oh, I love this.
I like it.
The Jazz Impulse is on Jazz 88.
Yeah.
You can find it at 88.5 FM in the Twin Cities or on 88 point or on Jazz. Oh, shoot.
No, that's all right.
Don't worry about it.
You know what?
You got this.
It's better this way.
Jazz88.fm. Oh, you know, I only have to say that once an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all right. And Jazz Impulse from 7 to 10. And it is the soundtrack.
In the evening. That sounds like a prime slot.
I bet it sounds like the soundtrack to your Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah. Here and now, every Saturday on Jazz 88.
Wow.
First time you said that?
7 to 9.
Just rolled off the tongue, didn't it?
Also Paper Sleeves on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And
Very
the Jazz cool. Impulse on Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Should I have any other? Oh, and then the YouTube.
What is the YouTube?
Danny Sigelman on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
And people, I mean, there is so much cool stuff. Stuff on there. I'm
awesome.
Pretty proud of that. I mean, I've been doing it forever.
Well, and it's,
lots of 80s. I'm also really into 80s television ads. So, you know, you go through your old videotapes and.
Oh, yeah.
If you were my dad and you recorded the Twins game, but you remember when tapes were like 6 hours long?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, so the Twins
Hasbro
game ends at 10
airways.
O'clock.
Yeah.
And you get the news and then you get the late night commercials.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You just build it up.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah. Old Minneapolis on Facebook pulls a lot of my videos. Yeah. There was the Ichiban commercial from like 1985.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh,
masterpiece.
Beautiful.
I love it. Yeah, that's, I mean, like, so we will have links in the show notes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll need to get those from you. Yes, we will send people your way if we can.
Yeah, so awesome. I like the self-promotion. I don't do enough of that, so right. I can check the shots.
Because you're Midwestern. You're Minnesota.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
it
totally.
Is.
We talk about it all the time.
Constantly. That's
yeah,
all
the
exactly
atmosphere song. Say shh.
Yeah. No, we have a real hard time with it. Yeah. It's a very difficult thing for us.
I've thought of kind of my tendency to have a, what do you call it, like an imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Maybe that's partly a Minnesota thing.
It is.
But yeah, I think
none of us feel adequate, although some of them do. And those are the ones that win most everything, because it's like, oh, look at that shiny person doing all the stuff.
Oh, wow, look at that.
You know? But anyway.
Good for them.
And then we beat them up.
Who do they think they are?
You know, I worked for a while. I worked for a record label, Secret Stash Records. Oh, yeah. And our motto was to present ourselves that we're bigger than we actually are.
Yeah.
And I think
that was a hard bit.
That was that. Yeah. Part of it. And it's almost like a Wizard of Oz kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
We have to do that to a degree, but stay on the level of kind of this humble Minnesota nature that I think is really endearing and lovely.
Yes,
so
it really is.
It's a balance.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'll figure it out when I'm in the deprivation tank.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It'll all come to you then. It's perfect.
Yep.
Bring it back.
Yep. Deprivation tank. Figure it out. Danny.
I like it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks
awesome.
A lot.
You bet.
Thank you.
Well, you did it. You made it to the end of another show. Thank you all so much for listening to our show. We really, really appreciate it. Don't forget to send us your questions, comments, or even your guest requests. Maybe you want to be a guest. Maybe you know someone who would be a great guest. Send them in to info@legacymatterspodcast.com. All right. See you next time. Thank you.
The theme music and all the other music that you've heard on this show is created by and recorded by the fabulous Captain Al. Check him out.